Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why United Healthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
This podcast is a Royfield Brown production. Find others on iTunes.
All right. Yeah, I know.
Hi, I'm Kate Madicani Aldridge. For now, anyway. I'd like to welcome you to Spiritual Home. As a client of Spiritual Home, you've already shown that you're someone with an enlightened aura. Someone better, like me. So, I'd like to suggest that you also support Dumpty Dum at patreon.com. If you do, you can get their extra content. It's the actual meaningful stuff, not the usual drivel. It doesn't matter how much you sponsor them for. I think they're pretty desperate, to be honest. Okay? Patreon.com. And, obviously, if you ever need a vaginal steaming, you know where I am. Blessings.
Oh,
hello, Dumpty Dum.
Wow.
And welcome to this special Dumpty Dum 200th anniversary week of programs. We are live on Mixlr. I'm joined by Royfield and by Hedley Niklau. Hello, Hedley. Hello, Royfield.
Hello.
Wow, that was steamy, wasn't it?
Mm.
That Kate Aldridge that was.
I would like to point out that in no way do Dumpty Dum, Royfield, or myself advocate any kind of steaming of the nether regions. Whether you be a man or a woman, it can only end in...
tears. Well,
yes, well...
or scolding. Scolding.
Exactly.
Now...
anyway.
I'm just going to quickly say something, Mr. Wilson, that then it's over to you to fundamentally drive this show, right? Because you and I, Hedley, spoke a couple of weeks ago now.
Yeah.
And I loved it. And I said to you, kind of half emotionally, that you are the reason why I listen to The Archers. And that is absolutely, categorically, the fact, you know, your wonderful acting back in the 1980s when you were having that affair with that horrible policeman. So I'd just like to remind you of that. But also, we had a call, which we did play out on the show on Monday, which I think everybody got. Oh God, I'm getting my days mixed up because of the time difference here. But anyway, on the 200th show, which you were supposed to be on, we had a call from Dusty, who's one of our stalwart listeners, and I just thought I'd play it for you now.
Hello, it's Dusty Substances here, the wrong sort of listener. Just a couple of things, really. First of all, I'm thrilled to bits that Hedley is going to be on a couple of Dumpty Dums upcoming. I thought her portrayal of Kathy was marvellous, and particularly in the aftermath of the rape, and in fact the lead up to it as well. I just thought she played an absolute blinder. I really loved it. And she was also very nice. If you ever rang Archer's Addicts to order a book or something like that, because she often answered the phone herself. So wow, excellent. And she needs to be back in Ambridge, I think. The other point I was going to make was about Linda.
There you go. There you go.
Oh, that's fantastic. Bless her. That's very kind.
It is.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thanks, Dusty Substances. Now, following on Headley, from what Dusty Substance has said, we have a message from With the Spoon, who is one of our long-time contributors. He's a New York psychoanalyst, so I'm a bit scared of him because he might actually know what's wrong with my head. So I want to be very careful here. But he says that when he started listening to the Archers, Kathy had already been through a lot of bad times, and she always felt forlorn to him. And in fact, he uses the term clinically dysthymic, which I've no idea what it is, so everyone can look that up.
Dysthymic.
Dysthymic. D-Y-S-T-H-Y-M-I-C. Dysthymic. So.
Oh, I'll look that up.
So he found, so he said it found it was, it's quite harrowing to listen to poor old Kathy.
Yeah.
And he wants Kathy to come back with really joyful storylines. So what I was thinking is, if and when Kathy comes back into view, which we all hope she does, what storylines would you really like to see her being involved in?
Wow, that's an interesting one. I'd like to see her being part and parcel of the village. I'd love her to have a conversation at one stage. I mean, it wouldn't be funny, but a conversation at some stage with Helen, because these two women have both been victims. And Kathy has gone through it, and Helen, who is a bit more neurotic to start with, has still got quite a lot to go through. That I would be interested in. As a listener, I'd be interested in that one. I'd also like Jamie back in. I'd like Kathy interacting with Jamie. I think you could have a certain amount of comedy with the kind of woman he might bring back, because that could be fun, because we don't really know what Jamie has been up to, but I'm sure as a young lad he'll have been up to something. So that would be fun. One of the things we say is that if you want stories, you have to have three people in one of the houses at least.
Right.
Two people don't make it. You need three to bounce off each other. It's a bit like we say that for married couples, they're more married if there's another person around. It makes it happen. So, yes, I think there could be some yardage. Certainly, again, it's not necessarily comedy, but Grey Gables is in a very interesting situation at the moment, and we don't really know what Oliver's going to do. We know that Linda is extremely dominating. I think you could have some quite nice interchanges with Linda and Kathy, because Kathy as a character is quite a foil, and in a way more as a foil for the other characters than comic within herself.
So how do you play that differently? If you're a foil for other people to...
You're a feed. So if you're in theatre, what happens is it's to do with timing. So if somebody's coming in with a laugh line, it usually goes in threes. So it could be... I can't think of a laugh line at the moment, but it could be, that's the orange over there. So Kathy would say, where? Over there. But I can't see it. It's over there. Ah! And that kind of creates the comic moment.
Okay.
But she doesn't have the punchline that's funny.
No, she... Okay, so we've got... I've got a pronunciation. It's dysthymic, not dysthymic. So I've been told off by Witherspoon. I was hoping he would give us...
Well, I can tell you, it's a persistent depressive disorder.
Is that what poor old Kathy's got?
A mild but long-term form of depression. Now... I did say this last week on the show that obviously I'm a big fan of you, and kind of was somewhat ambivalent about how I felt about Kathy.
Yes.
But I never really believed that you and Kenton would actually be a workable couple.
No.
And I know they say opposites attract, but that's really like, utterly is chalk and cheese, because Kathy always played this very grounded, and I think this dysthymic thing is on the nose, really. You know, mild but long-term form of depression. There was no fun around Kathy.
No, and she arrived. She'd already had a husband that she was divorced from, who turned up and created a bit of trouble and then disappeared. So she's never been very successful in her relationships. I don't think she liked being in a pub. She's a very predictable, middle-class woman. I don't think imagination is her strong point, but she's kind and she's warm-hearted and she does her bit. But life has given her a few knocks. The funny thing is that in my own person, as Hedley, the sort of work I did in the theatre was always comedies. I used to get, I did Blithe Spirit, I played the maid Edie in that. And the challenge was, how many laughs could you get just walking across the stage, carrying a tray while shenanigans were going on the sofa? So I did a lot of comedy and my timing is comedic. And I find it quite amusing that I wound up with Kathy for about 30 plus years playing this, to me, a rather narrow woman who hasn't got a strong sense of humour and who isn't really very funny. Well, isn't funny at all. I mean, I feel quite sorry for her. Don't know if I'd be a friend of hers. I don't think I quite like her, but she doesn't encourage intimacy.
She was quite a good mother, I thought, to Jamie, in that she struggled because she was a single mother, but she certainly tried to guide him, particularly when he was doing his I can't remember what they're called, GCSEs, I guess, and when he went off to be a tree surgeon.
Tree surgeon, yeah. Yeah. No, she did her best, and he was suffering too, and it was very difficult with the breakup with Kenton. I think all those sort of stories I really like because I think they mirror what goes on in the big wide world. There are a lot of single parents trying to rear children on their own, and it's not easy, particularly when it's a lad and he gets to be an adolescent. And you haven't got a man there to sometimes say, oh, well, that's the way we are, or don't worry too much about it. Or, you know, it's an intense focus. So, and I very much like the actor who played Jamie. He's very good. He's doing well at the moment, which is nice. So, yes, I find Kathy, I think if I was running the show, the thing about Kathy is that she fits in odd places. She's, as I said at the start, she's a foil, which means she can actually go anywhere in Ambridge, and she just fills out the picture a bit more because a lot of her responses are fairly predictable and a lot of people out there recognise that and associate themselves with her world.
So do you guess an inner... Sorry,
yeah,
Royfield.
Yeah. Okay. So do you think that's the reason why, and I don't want to be too controversial here, but maybe that's why the new editors have struggled to really place Kathy? Because they don't really realise that actually she is a foil.
That's an interesting thought. I don't know. I think it's really hard to know how the storylines come about and how characters are used and what place they have in Ambridge. And every time you've got a new editor, and quite rightly, you're going to get an exploration of new characters and new stories. We've got some nice new characters at the moment and their stories are evolving. I think perhaps more to the point that for a new editor to come in, what they don't get is the history that our followers have with the characters. And it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, Trex, you know, Rex.
Toby and Rex, so, yeah.
That takes a long time for people to really care about them and what happens to them. And it's saying when you change the characters, sometimes it works better than others, and you're redeveloping and you're recreating a partnership between you and the listening public. I mean, for me, I have people who've listened since Kathy came into the show. I've got one or two really devoted followers who know more about Kathy than I do, because what they've done is relate what's happened to her to what's happening to them. And that's something that's quite precious, and that's part of the roots of the show, but they're not immediately obvious to a new person coming in, however talented they are in terms of radio. It's something unique to the show.
It is, and just because Kathy hasn't been around for a few years, voicing, it doesn't mean that she's not going to suddenly crop up. That's what takes us. That's one of the things I like about The Archers, is that its focus wanders somewhat in the village, and it will rest sometimes for too long, as I think Royfield and Lucy thought with Rob and Helen, but then it will drift back again. And I think maybe it was the Rob and Helen storyline that pushed out a lot of the main characters for quite a while.
Oh, very much so. I mean, there were about 16, 17 of us that were just not heard. And gradually the next editor has started feeding them back in. But now, of course, he's gone. So we'll be getting another new editor in the space of, what, 3 years, 2 years. But you've got to have it in a way, because times move on. And one of the things about The Archers as a top, if only, radio soap, is that it has to keep track of what's going on with our visual brothers and sisters. I like that, visual brothers and sisters. I don't know, which is EastEnders, a brother or a sister? Coronation Street? Don't know, jury's out. So
I think it's an embarrassing uncle.
It's a very sad uncle. We talk about Kathy being depressed. Thank God she's
exactly.
there.
She's the clown if she's in EastEnders, isn't she?
I just love his. I love it, the fact of EastEnders, you know, you can't just walk in and say hello. It's always got to be, hello! Or, yes, we'll go there. Anyway, so in Ambridge, we're gentler. But, yes, so they have to keep track of that. So we do have to be with the times. Otherwise, we're popped in a backwater, and we never want to be that.
I think, but sometimes we certainly get the reaction, and you get it on Twitter too, as I'm sure you see, is that they don't want The Archers to be too soapy tropey, which is Royfield's phrase. But I think that I think it does generally tread a good line between the old-fashioned way that The Archers used to be and what modern audiences are expecting.
Well, actually, if you listen to a vintage Archers tape or video or disc or whichever way you can get hold of one, you realise just how hugely it's changed. I mean, enormously changed.
And it'll be about the pace of it and the pace, the sound delivery. Mixing.
It's the fact that we were dealing with mono, not stereo. So mono, you're facing somebody across the microphone, and I won't go into all the technical side of it, but with stereo...
Well, why not? We're interested.
With stereo, it's like a figure of eight, and you can be conversational. Yeah. And you can bring a performance right down. And that's exciting. Whereas with mono, there's always an element of projection, but with mono, there was more of an element of projection, and an approach had to be really well timed. You had to be the right distance from the mic, and you had to then be close up on the mic. Whereas you've got much more flexibility with a stereophonic mic. So all of that has made a lot of difference. Technically, we've just evolved huge. I mean, in the old days, you were recorded on a disc, and if you made a mistake, you had to go right back and start again. Then we were on tape, and what would happen there would be that if you made a mistake, they would splice it. So they cut out your mistake and they'd join the tape together, and then you'd re-record. And so often we would sit outside waiting to see if the edit had worked. Basically, had it gone smoothly, or was there a slight bump which would indicate that something had happened? And then gloriously, we got computerized, and then that's just wonderful. I mean, it can really help if you've got a cold. It can take out some of that nasal intonation. That was my interpretation of a nasal intonation. And so, yes, it's very slick now. It's very slick, but we do work very fast.
It is really noticeable what you've said there when you listen back to The Archers in the 1980s. So when I do a lot of the actors' interviews, I'm going back and I'm listening to old recordings, which anyone can find on YouTube. I have no special way in with with The Archers archive in service. And you're completely right, that delivery is very, I don't want to say stilted, because that sounds like people weren't acting, they obviously were, but then you listen to The Archers now, and apart from just the vibrancy of the recording, but it's very obvious that the actors actually now move around much more than they ever did in the 1980s. You can hear somebody pan left and right, so they are walking, somebody is obviously in the background, whereas the mic levels back in the 1980s all kind of be set to be kind of the same, and you can imagine everybody kind of stood in a row next to that mic.
Yes, and when you, I mean, one of the things that was always a challenge was to get the sound of somebody in the open air. So to get the sound of somebody in the open air, you have to have an enclosed area. And so we started with an old, like flats in the theatre with a blanket over it. Then we actually had what we called the dead room. So the dead room was like a little building inside the studio where there were a couple of tubs, one with tape so you could sound as though you were rustling in the woods, or there was a bit of tiling. So
you did a lot of rustling in the woods. You did in the '80s. Nice lady. Well,
that field was never the same. But now
they couldn't mow it. It was so flat.
Crop circles. the art that we have now, it's fabulous. I don't know if you've seen it, but we call it the snail. So it's a little curve with these pointy bits of black sponge that absorb all the sound. So it's so much easier now to sound as though you're out in the open air because of that. So you come round this little snail and there you are, you're on mic. So you've wandered across the field and now we hear the conversation you're having with whoever it may be. So that's quite exciting technology, you know, the way things have evolved again.
Yeah, I've been in one of those dead rooms. I went when I was a little teenage boy, which was a long time ago, the old broadcasting house. I went on a tour of that and there was a dead room in one of the drama studios. And my overwhelming memory of that is that it almost hurt the ears to be in it because there was no reflection of sound back. Does that affect how you speak? I mean,
but it's like everything else, whether you do theatre, television or radio, it's all a huge effort of the imagination. So if you're supposed to be outdoors, I've got a better way of expressing it. Kathy and Sid went swimming. So there's a cracked sink in the studio and in the old studio, actually, at Pebble Mill. And so what happens is they fill the sink with water and they put a microphone over the water. Yeah. And you've got a spot effects person going splish, splash, splish, splash, which is heard on that mic. And then you've got a mic on Kathy and Sid. So what I'm doing is I'm actually doing sort of swimming, saying, oh, come on, Sid, this is so fresh, it's wonderful. And I'm actually doing these swimming movements to get that kind of pulse in the voice. And in your head, what you've got to think is, oh, Sid and Kathy are courting. And it's actually lovely here. We're having a wonderful swim. And it's kind of like ignore the physical surroundings you find yourself in.
Yeah. Fascinating.
That's the fun bit.
Now, we have a question three questions that have come in online from Missy Nissy, who is one of the people, Janice Pope, I believe, who turned up to the Dumpty Dum meetup in Oxford over the summer. And she says, hi, all. I have some questions if you get a chance to ask them. Well, that's why we're here. Question number one. Kathy was noticeably absent during the Rob storyline. What effect do you think Kathy would, being present, have had on the story?
For me, I found it very odd that she wasn't there. Pat and Kathy are staunch friends, and Pat has seen Kathy through quite a lot of trauma, and I think she would have rung Kathy up, they'd have gone and had a drink, and I think she could have been, again, a listener for Pat. It could have helped her. She's also very practical, Kathy. I think she would have been supportive, and it would have just been another bit of texture, another bit of ambrage. And I did miss that, and so did a lot of the listeners. I got lots of queries about that.
Yeah,
so
well,
I was sorry
Dum.
Wasn't there.
Yeah, Dumpty Dum listeners and Royfield and Lucy. Mm. So where the heck is Kathy? This is just completely... And at that stage, they didn't even mention that Pat had gone for a cup of tea with Kathy to sort, you know, to go through things that are traumatic. So didn't even mention that. At least now she's being mentioned.
Yes, quite a lot.
There was a point, wasn't there, where Pat had Pat had a lot of concerns about Rob initially. She didn't warm to him. And then in the end, she went, well, my daughter's made this decision, basically. You would have been the ideal person for her to voice those concerns too.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what we do, you know, that's what mates do. So yes, but anyway, that's the way it went. And there are only so many characters you can have per episode, etc.
That's true.
But yeah, I missed that.
Just before we go on to some more questions, do you have a quick listen to a bit of Kathy?
Yeah.
Thanks, Jim. Bye.
Oh, hello.
Kenton.
Didn't expect to see you.
Really?
No, I was just going in to buy a bottle of wine.
Well, don't let me stop you.
I'm just on my way around to Shuler's. We're planning this trip to Bath for Mum's 80th.
Yes, I know.
Oh, yes, of course you do. You and Jamie are still coming.
I hardly think that will be appropriate, do you?
Well, up to you, obviously. So, how are things?
How do you think?
Well, I was wondering, you know, I mean, not now, obviously, but if you fancy meeting up for a drink or something.
Why would I want to do that?
Well, I just thought, you know, if you... if you want to talk about things...
Oh, no, no, I don't want to talk about things. I don't want to talk to you about anything.
Right.
What I do want is for you to go round to April Cottage and remove the rest of your belongings.
What? Today?
I shall be out this afternoon, so will Jamie.
Well, it's not actually...
If they're not gone today, then they're going out with the rubbish.
OK. That's the way you feel?
Yep, it is.
Right. Well, probably for the best. I mean, you're right. I guess it might be time to call it a day and move on.
Oh, don't be such a sanctimonious git.
What?
You've already moved on, haven't you?
In what way?
In a sleeping with your customers at Jack's way.
What? It?
I know all about it, Kenton.
How?
And if you think there's the remotest chance of me letting you back into my life and my home after that kind of behaviour, then you're even more stupid than I gave you credit for.
Shh, shh, shh. Do you want the whole village to know?
I don't give a damn who knows.
Let's keep this civilised, Kathy.
Oh, I'm sorry, sorry. A man of your age picking up a young woman in a bar? That's civilised behaviour, is it?
She wasn't that young.
Her precise age, isn't it?
Yeah, beside the point, yes, obviously. Right, well, I'll do it now then. I'll go and collect the rest of my belongings.
You satisfied?
And you can leave your key on the hall table.
You were bloody good there. Bravo. Oh,
I'm a little frightened.
I was good. You're very nice.
I feel like I've been told off.
Oh, crikey. Yeah, that was fun. Richard's lovely, isn't he? Richard's fab. We had a lot of fun because Richard is very good actor. He's always working, and whenever we had a scene together, he always wanted to tear it to bits and work on it. I loved him. Great. Might still do, but that was fun. Yeah, we like those sort of meaty scenes, but she was a bit horrible. I wouldn't like. I'm not sure I like her at all.
She was. Oh, come on. She was. She'd been betrayed. She was hurt. She'd been let down. She needed to let rip. Surely, everyone's allowed to let rip from time to time.
Hey, and she said, no. "Damn, that was a bit scarily."
Git. She unusual. Called him a git.
And git. That was like a sanctimonious git. That was fun. Good fun. Good script.
Git is a good word because it has the power, but it's not. You know, it's a category. It's a Z-list swear word.
Yes, you're absolutely right. Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hey, everyone. I'm Craig Robinson, co-host of the Ways to Win podcast, alongside my good friend, John Calipari. I've been on the go recently. Phoenix, Kansas City, Chicago. If you're like me and have a home but aren't always at home, you have an Airbnb. Hosting your home or a spare room is a very practical side hustle. If you live in a big game town, you can Airbnb your place for fans to stay in. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And UnitedHealthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Now, there question was... number two from Nissy here is, she recalls Jamie was a tree surgeon. Do you think he'd still be doing tree surgery now, or do you think he would have... I was about to say branched out, but that... and you might have twigged that pun. Do you think he'd still be a tree surgeon now? I think he was really into it.
Oh, yeah, no, I don't see any reason why he wouldn't be. I'd love to know where he is. I think he's up a tree.
Yeah. K-S-I-N-G.
Yes.
And thirdly...
No, I think he'd still be a tree surgeon. I think he'd be doing very well.
It's a good career, that, isn't it? You get a pickup truck and a chainsaw and everything. Number three from Nissi is, would Kathy be in another relationship now? And what kind of man or woman, who knows, what kind of person do you think she'd be in a relationship with now?
Well, I think what happens nowadays is she'd be on online dating. And it so happens that a couple of my friends have had really positive experiences. I don't think it always has to be exploited as a bad experience. And two people I know have actually found men who live quite close to where they are and have been idyllically happy. And one of them, I really love this, because this lady had had a very tough time and she found this chap and they're married. And he just said to her, what's on your bucket list? I'm going to do everything on your bucket list. And so he did. So all the things that she wanted to do and explore and go abroad and all the rest of it, they've done. And I think that will be a really nice, warm story.
But that wouldn't make for good drama on the radio, a blissfully happy couple.
But you've got to have a bit, you see, at the moment, not at the moment, but for in the interest of balance. Quite good to have a relationship that's bounding along quite comfortably alongside a relationship where in which we can see there are problems. So, like,
you have a comparative story, don't you?
Yeah. So I'm not suggesting that that's necessarily the way you could, but you could have a bit of fun with that. I think they've done it but a long time ago. I think they could, that would be something that she would do, very, very current.
You know what? I've just realised that what I said is kind of bunkum, because Robert and Linda Snell are blissfully happy, aren't they? But there's enough difference between them as people, so you get the comic, you get the dramatic difference, but there's never any stress on their marriage per se. They're rock solid. So it can be done. It can be done.
But I think also, I think that's very relevant to a lot of widows, to a lot of women on their own who don't quite know what to do with themselves. Kathy's younger than I am, and I think she would certainly have a go. I think she always, bless her, she always does have a go. It'd be quite nice if she had someone who brought her a bit of fun. But there we are. We'll see.
Well, I want to know what website your friends go on. I'm on the market at the moment.
Are you? I'm not sure which ones they went on. Yeah.
There is another question here from Jed and White. The synopsis of the BBC site says that you saved a young Adam Macy when he was bitten by an adder. Yeah. What other decisions should Kathy regret?
That's another character. What decisions should Kathy regret? Well, none of them, because they created some really meaty and great storylines, so that was fab. For her as a person, the biggest decision, the biggest regret is that she was so good to the chef, to Owen King. Because if she hadn't been so good to him, he wouldn't have misunderstood, and the situation wouldn't have arisen. But she was a soft touch. So,
and that's in no way victim blaming at all, is it? It's just
And the other thing, I think she should have stood up to her bully a bit sooner.
Martin Gibson,
yeah.
Oh, I hate him. I love the actor who plays him. It's John Glover, isn't it?
Yeah.
And he did a lot of radio. He did Weekending and all that kind of thing.
But I think she would have been a bit more feisty and seen him off.
Because there was talk of taking him to tribunal, etc., wasn't there, at the time? And she should have done that.
Yeah.
But I guess it's more realistic that people don't because they feel that they won't win and the system is too big for them and it costs too much money and
it
doesn't do to stir the pot, does it? Because everyone will know you're a trouble causer.
No, and then you come across as a victim.
Hmm. And the last time she was involved in anything legal, of course, was the rape case.
Yeah. I like that. I like the fact that that was kind of like a year or so down the line when she thought it was all forgotten, and then it all, you know, they come knocking at her door. I think that's one of the things the Archers does really well, that they can take their time over a story. It's like the Alzheimer's story with Peggy and Jack. I mean, that was beautifully crafted. That just went on and on, as it does in real life. That was terrific. I'm very proud of the series with some of the stories that they have explored and I think done triumphantly. And I love I love the moments, the unexpected moments, when there are a couple of characters and you're perhaps doing washing up or you're half there, and then you suddenly hear something in the voice and you start listening. And there can be some real poignancy between a couple of the characters that you didn't anticipate, or a laugh, you know. It's lovely. I do love it.
It happens to me quite often that I'll get that laugh. And or the one that gets me is just I'm not expecting it, and then I'll suddenly get that lump in my throat.
Yes. Yes.
And I'll start to go.
But then, have you been drinking gin? Has this got something to do with it?
I'm a fully rounded emotional human being, and it's worse when it happens in Sainsbury's. You can get away with it in Majestic wine. Because you can go and hide behind the Rioja, but I think the Archers. I think being a fan is the wrong word for following the Archers. It becomes more part of your life than just a radio show.
No, the truth is, you have to bring something of yourself into the picture to make it work.
Yeah, absolutely, and that is very absolutely.
From back watching television, where all that work's been done for you.
Yeah. The another thing which we didn't discuss, and this is kind of I've been reminded by this, by what you said about the time span that storylines can actually take, was you and Kenton splitting up took years, didn't it, after the rape. And I did remark last week that I thought that was beautifully played and extremely believable, because neither party was fundamentally was wrong in that. Kenton, in his own way, tried to reach out to you, to Kathy.
Yeah.
You were dealing with trauma. You were dealing with shame, and you were concealing this horrible secret for quite some time. And neither of you could actually cope with that. And yes, in the end, when the relationship had literally kind of broken down, then Kenton went off and he had his dalliance and stuff. But there was years. There was at least 2 years before he got to that point, wasn't there? Yeah. And that was something which, if this was EastEnders, it would have been, the rape would have happened on the Tuesday, and you know, within 3 weeks there would have been a breakup of the relationship.
Yeah.
But this played out beautifully, painfully, over years.
And also the thing there that I liked in the way they did it was that it was Sid who got rid of him, not Kenton, got rid of Owen, or Gareth, or whatever he called himself. I mean, I'm thinking back to that. I'm thinking back to, there was one thing that was really creepy, where we had Kathy, after the event, we had Kathy in her house, her flat or whatever it was, her house. And all we've got is the telephone, and we know that it's Owen. And she just sits there and she's absolutely frozen. She can't answer it.
Yes, I remember that.
Wow. It's powerful stuff, radio. And that makes it is worse in a way when you do complete the picture yourself, because you're there, aren't you? Your heart begins to thud a bit.
And I think,
and
because
something drops in your house and you go, ah!
And I listen on earbuds on a podcast usually. So it literally is in my head.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very intimate. Very intimate.
That must have been horrible with Rob and Helen.
Rob in your head. Especially because I started phoning in. And leaving, because I wasn't an original presenter. So I used to phone in and people say, he sounds like Rob. And it's like,
And the funny thing is, Timothy Watson, who played Rob, is one of the nicest men you could ever hope to meet. He's an absolute darling.
Do you think stories that you see in the Daily Mail and the Daily Mirror, where they say that, soap stars, and this was printed about Timothy as well, that he was being attacked in the street by listeners. Yeah. They wouldn't have recognised him, would they?
Well, yes, because they do show pictures. There were a lot of pictures. Mm-hmm. You see, that was such a successful storyline on so many different levels. And one of the levels was the amount of publicity it attracted. So, yes, his picture and Louise's, Louisa Patacas, who played Helen, those pictures were everywhere. So, no, that doesn't surprise me at all. And Bob Arnold, who played Tom Forrest, who was sent off... was he jailed? I can't remember, but it was with, I think he was in jail until he got released, or he was on bail. No, he wasn't on bail. He was in jail. And he was walking around near where he lived, and somebody came up to him and said, "You're terrible. You killed that man. Why are you out of jail?" People get very, and poor old Colin, who played Tony, somebody came up and tried to duff him up because he was not being very nice to Pat at the time. So for some people, there's a very fine line between what is real and what is not.
But these are usually people who write letters to the BBC in green ink, aren't they?
Well, there's that lovely June Spencer one when her daughter Jennifer was pregnant. And somebody wrote to June, care of Pebble Mill, and said, you know, dear Peggy, nobody else is telling you, but I really think you ought to know. Jenny is pregnant, and we don't know who the father is.
Oh, how wonderful.
That's great. It's great. And one of the other thing I loved was I met a lady who said that when Grace died, which was traumatic for many, many of our listeners, that was one of the biggest stories that the Archers ever did. So Grace, Phil Archer's first wife, dies in the fire, or on the way out of the fire in an ambulance. And I forgot what I was telling you about. Oh, yes. So I saw this lady and she said, you know, I went to see my mother and she was hanging out in the clothes and she was crying. And I said, Mum, what's the matter? Why are you crying? And she said, is that Grace Archer? She's dead. But we don't know anybody called Grace, Mum. Grace Archer in Ambridge. Oh, no. Yes, that was a good one.
Jed and White wants to know, does Kathy know where the bunting is?
Yes, and she's keeping it a secret.
That's the bunting will return. I think Kathy will find it in a cupboard in Grey Gables, and that will be her first line.
She'll be in the cupboard with the bunting. Someone else will find them both.
What, she's tied up with the bunting?
Tied up with
bunting. Oh, my God. Missy Nissy, who asked three other questions before, and she's desperate for Kathy to return. But she's wondering what storylines would allow this to happen. Well, I think I've already suggested one.
Yeah. Which was yours? I've already forgotten.
Well, discovering the bunting in the cupboard.
No, you're absolutely right. Yes, that would be good. If she was to return, it would be done quite seamlessly. I mean, there'd be some sort of scene in Grey Gables. She'd be talking to Roy. Mm. She might have a chat with Linda.
Well, you were quite central to a little storyline last week whereby Ian had these new menus, these Christmas menus, You and Oliver approved them. What was it about that you saw in Ian's menus? Because to me, they sounded all a bit fancy-dancy, and this is just Christmas dinner. I'm sorry, you know. But you seemed to send him out with a proper smile on his face after that meeting. So what was it about those menus there?
Well, because he'd gone away from the fancy to doing traditional Christmas food, and that would have certainly appealed to Kathy. I think she'd like that. Good Christmas food is divine. But you start putting too many frills in, it's fairly horrible. So I think she'd have approved that. And, of course, that was via Pat, you see. Pat was the one who put that idea in Ian's head. I actually found it slightly odd that someone of his experience was getting quite so moited about it.
I am enjoying, we're going slightly off the Kathy / Headley conversation here. I'm enjoying the fact that there is more Grey Gables action and the fact that the kitchen is being mentioned again. Because for me, this is Jean-Paul from like the 80s and the 90s and his crazy madcap French ways, Jack Woolley, etc., etc. So it reminds me of that. There is that connection back to, you know, Grey Gables back then. So I do like that. But yeah, I think you're completely right. The amount of time that he's been head chef of Grey Gables now, for him to put together a Christmas menu, he should be able to know the balance of the line between the traditional and the slightly quirky, so it's still actually interesting.
Yeah. No, I mean, I think he could do that in his sleep.
I think he needs proper management.
Well, you're making me think of Jack Woolley. I remember the golden line with Caroline when he said, I can't do him very well, but everyone else can do him. Everyone can do Jack Woolley. No, Caroline, it's time you did some managing. And, you know, the strong characters.
How good's your captain? Captain!
Oh, captain. Do you remember when Captain It was Portia. Do you remember Mrs. Xanthropus?
Yes, of course.
She had her dog Portia, mm-hmm. and Portia escaped, and they had little mongrels between them, to the horror of certainly Mrs. Xanthropus. I think Jack was a bit more open-minded, but they had these little mongrel pups. It's not just Kenton.
No, no. We should start to wind this down because the listeners are going to want to listen to the Archers in about 15 minutes.
I do too.
Can we have you on again soon?
That would be lovely. But I think probably it's time to move on to another character. They've probably had quite enough of the non-existent Kathy on the show.
No, but I think they're segueing you back in slowly but surely.
Definitely. Yeah. It's being signposted.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I would clear your diary, Hedley, for the first quarter of 2018.
Gosh, we're it. Gosh, 2018.
I know, it's terrible, isn't it?
Yeah. Still, it's exciting as well. And I do love Christmas.
What have you got planned for Christmas?
It's going to be all family. I'm a grandmother with a little 3-week-old granddaughter and a 2.5-year-old grandson. And we'll be having Christmas with my daughter and her husband and loads of family. And they have
We at Dumpty Dum will buy your 2-year-old grandson a little toy drum that he can bang all day on Christmas Day. How would you like that?
You're all heart.
Hedley Nicolau. Hedley Nicolau, thank you for gracing us with your presence on this 201 episode of Dumpty Dum. Sorry we made up a proper balls up on Tuesday. Sorry about that. But we got there in the end.
This was really nice.
Yeah, it was lovely.
There are always gremlins in the works.
Yeah.
Even the BBC has its moments.
That's true. Very true. Thank you, Hedley. Thank you very much indeed. It was a great pleasure. And I had a great time.
And thank you for everyone who's been listening in, and thank you for the questions.
Yes. You've been listening to a special 200th anniversary week episode of Dumpty Dum, live on Mixlr. Goodness, and now Royfield knows how to do it, we might do it again someday. Thanks very much. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
When you drive a vehicle so reliable it's backed by a 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty, you stop thinking about what you can't do and start doing what you never thought possible. Visit your local Kia dealer today to see what you're capable of in a vehicle that inspires confidence around every corner. Kia. Movement that inspires. Call 800-333-4KIA for details. Always drive safely. Limited inventory available. Warranties include 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain and 5-year, 60,000-mile basic. Warranties are limited. See retailer for details.